Turn to the book of Galatians, and I want us to start reading in chapter 5, though our text is in chapter 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are looking at these one another's that we find in the scriptures, and we're learning more about God's family rules and how he expects us to carry out our duty, our responsibility to one another. And we're going to see that in the scripture tonight. Got your Bibles open, Galatians chapter 5, and follow along with me as I read. I'm going to begin reading in verse 14, and we're going to read down through, I'll skip a few verses, but we're going to read through chapter 6, verse 5. Galatians 5:14, the Bible says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." I want us to skip down to verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its effect, with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And verse 2 and 3, can we read that together, please? "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden." Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our time together in the Word tonight. Father, I pray that you would help me as I share this truth. Father, you instruct us to bear one another's burden. And Father, we can only do that because you've borne our burden. Father, you bore our sin burden. You placed that upon your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who carried that to the top of Mount Calvary where it was nailed to the cross. And Father, now we are free to bear one another's burdens. Father, I pray that we would understand this passage. Father, that we would seek ways to carry it out, to help one another, to encourage one another, to bear one another's burdens. Father, I pray that you would bless our time together. Spirit of God, I pray that you would fill me and use me. May every word be directed by your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that the word of God would be heard and the love of Christ would be felt. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
There are a few phrases that make their way around Christian circles, and maybe at first thought they might appear to be based on biblical truth, but here are some of them: let go and let God, or God helps those who help themselves. Here's another one: when God closes a door, he opens a window. Here's another one: God will not give you more than you can handle. Yeah, that last one. God will not give you more than you can handle. You know, true or false? Well, if the phrase is true, it's understood properly, but as it's commonly used, it's patently false because you're trying to encourage someone to be strong in their own strength. Does God give us more than we ourselves can handle? Yes, absolutely. Paul speaks to that end. Does anyone know the verse that that saying is based off of? God will not give you more than you can handle. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Yes, let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Turn there with me if you would, please. We'll get back to Galatians here in a minute. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The Scripture says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." You know, and as we go through the trials and difficulties and temptations, there is, God has provided for us a way to escape. And we need to understand this passage in context. Okay? Now, I want us to turn over a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Because this passage is often said to mean that God will not give you more than you can handle. And yet, as Paul writes, begins his second epistle to the very same church, he said, God gave us more than we could handle. God gave me more than I could handle. I want to begin reading in verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6. "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed without measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Now, Paul, you know, Paul's writings, 1 Corinthians 10:13, often said, God will not give you more than you can handle. And here Paul says, we were pressed above strength. God gave us more than we could handle. But how did Paul respond to that? The trials, the difficulties of life. Verse 9, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. He also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." Well, I love that passage. As Paul says, we were given a whole lot more than we could handle. So much so, we despaired even of life itself. And yet, in this passage, we see the resources that God gives to the Christian when He gives us more than we can handle. Paul said, it is God that delivers us. It's God. And truly, we understand that. We believe that. It's God. But Paul says, don't minimize your part in it. Verse 11, "Ye also helping together." You see, God has given us brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul even mentioned that, alluded to that back in verse 7 when he says, "You're partakers of the sufferings." You see, I want to remind us that as Christians, as human beings in this sin-cursed world, we are going to find ourselves in difficult circumstances. We're going to find ourselves under heavy burdens, and you and I need each other. We need one another. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, as Paul is writing to these Christians in Galatia, you know, I want to remind us a little bit about the context of this letter. You know, the book of Galatians is not a nice letter. It may open up nice enough, like the other Pauline epistles, grace be unto you and peace, and so forth. But before we even get 200 words into this epistle, Paul has already pronounced two anathemas. You know, Paul is writing not to a church, a singular church, but to churches in the region of Galatia. You know, as he wrote to the churches, a city would have one church and singular, but he writes to the churches as Galatia is a region. And Paul had traversed that region on his first and second missionary journey and had planted churches there. And yet on the heels of Paul's departure, as he would go to the next city, Jewish Christians would arrive. And these Jewish Christians would begin to tell the people that Paul's version of Christianity was too easy. You know, for these Gentiles, all they have to do is just have faith. All they have to do is just believe. And what these Gentile believers need is a good dose of Old Testament law. You know, what they need is some rituals, and they need circumcision, and they need to learn the laws of clean, what's clean and unclean, and the ceremonial cleansing, and Paul, having departed to regions beyond, is now hearing that these believers have embraced this legalistic teaching, and the law has been added to faith. And these believers in these churches that Paul has risked his life to start have been taken in by these Judaizers. And Paul is upset. Rightfully so. And as we read the book of Galatians, we feel the heat coming from Paul's pen. Paul is bothered that these Christians would be so easily bewitched into taking upon themselves this heavy burden. You see, as Gentiles, they were not a part of God's covenant with Israel, and they'd not been taught about clean and unclean meats and the various ceremonies and festivals. And Paul was upset that they would allow themselves to be burdened by the ceremonial law. You know, Jesus had come and Jesus had told them that Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And yet these Judaizers had taken the burden of the ceremonial law and placed it on these believers. You know, the law, as it was practiced in Jesus' day, had indeed become a burden. You know, Jesus had actually spoken about it in those terms as a burden. In Matthew chapter 23, as Jesus, well, let me have you turn there. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. I'll begin reading in verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings. I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm in Matthew 24. Matthew 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." You see, instead of helping to bear burdens, the Pharisees and these Judaizers that Paul references in Galatians, in his book, of Galatians, they had added to the burden of the people. They had given them burdens to bear. And you see, the law, it was given to expose sin. And it was Christ that had fulfilled the law. It was Christ that took upon Himself our punishment for breaking the law. And Paul writes how that Christ became a curse for us, and as He was hung on the tree, and He has given us the command, the law summarized as we read it in a single word, that word love. And this letter to these churches is a stern rebuke, a much needed, but a stern rebuke. And we get to Galatians chapter 6 as Paul is giving some instruction, and he starts the chapter with the word brethren. We come across this word multiple times in this epistle, some 9 times and in 6 chapters. And it reminds us of the fact that we are in a relationship. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And as such, we are to treat one another. We are to be loving. And everything that we do is to be done in love. And he tells us in verse 1, he speaks about the restoration of a brother and to be done in meekness. And then we get to verse 2. Would you read verse 2 with me again, please? Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens. You know, the word burden is used in the New Testament, as we read there in Matthew chapter 23, to describe the obligations of the ceremonial law. Not the obligations as they were given by God, but the obligations as they were enforced by the Pharisees, as they were expanded and expounded upon by the Pharisees. We see the word burden used to describe a physical cargo. Now, the burden, the cargo of a ship, or the work that is being done by a man. We see the word burden being used to describe the obligation of a financial need. Sometimes I still hear the word burden mentioned in that way, to describe that financial obligation. A burden is simply anything that is borne, anything that is being carried. Anything that gets in the way of proper service to God and proper love for one another. Anything that gets in the way, anything that interferes with a proper service to God and a proper love for one another. You know, this burden that is to be borne, bear ye one another's burdens. It might be the Pharisaical legalism that Paul has so roundly condemned in this passage. It might be sins mentioned in verse 1. If a man be overtaken in a fault. Not every burden is sinful. Now, burdens can lead to sin. Any burden can lead to sin. You know, it can lead us to a point of exasperation. And burdens can make us weary in the flesh and make us short with one another, or speak unkindly to one another and respond unlovingly, or to be frustrated or angry. A burden can cause us to be disappointed or even disillusioned with God and with our brothers and sisters. But here's the problem. Bear ye one another's burdens. And we're taught by our culture that we need to be strong. Now, our culture idolizes that strong, rugged individualism. You know, where we want to appear to be that strong individual and never seeming burden, never needing help, and that individual that can resolve all of our own problems and never struggle financially or spiritually or emotionally. And I want to remind us tonight that self-sufficiency is simply another expression of pride. Again, our culture preaches self-sufficiency. You got this. You are enough. And so many other ways. But Jesus said, John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Nothing. You see, this self-sufficiency is another manifestation of pride. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul warns us. He says, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Not to think of himself more strong than he ought to think. More encumbered than he ought to. Listen, Paul said this sufficiency, but he gets to it. We read a first few verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, but you get to chapter 3 and Paul says, listen, we are not sufficient of ourselves. He said, our sufficiency is of God. And I want to remind us tonight that this individualism that our culture, that is such a in the warp and woof of our the fabric of our culture is pride. It is pride. Jesus warned us in a parable about the self-sufficient rich man. He brought in a great harvest and he was now going to be able to retire and take care of himself and tear down his barns and build bigger barns. And he told himself, he said, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God hath said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So is he. He is a fool that lays up treasure for himself. He is a fool who considers himself to be sufficient. You see, God created us as human beings to need Him and to need one another. And to fill that need, God gave us Himself and God gave us one another. You know, we see that mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, those verses that we read. Paul said, you know, press beyond strength, even despairing of life. And yet, he said it was because of God. It was because of others. We need God. We need others. And as God's children, we must be willing to bear one another's burdens. We must be willing to ask for help. We face never expecting the help, never demanding the help. And that's why we read on in Galatians chapter 6 and we get to verse 5 after verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens. We get to verse 5, it says, every man shall bear his own burden. Never can we expect or demand that others carry our burden for us. But as Christians, we're to be watchful of one another and we need to love and give of ourselves to help one another. I want to make just a few thoughts tonight about this matter of bearing burdens. As the body of Christ, we must first see one another's burdens. We must first see one another's burdens. You know, we need to, in order to bear one another's burdens, we've got to see it. And so, you know, as we converse with one another, you know, we need to share. I mean, the conversations, they need to go a little bit deeper than basic pleasantries. The weather hi, how you doing? Fine. How are you? Fine. The conversation has to go a little bit deeper than that. You know, there's a adage about marriage. You go into marriage with your eyes wide open. Then when you get to the marriage altar, you close them. You know, I'm afraid that's how some people go to church. Their eyes are closed to the needs of others. They don't want to see anybody else's burden. You know, if we're going to bear one another's burdens, we've got to have our eyes wide open. As we speak with one another, we can't be satisfied with those pat answers. And again, it's not that every interaction with each other needs to become an interrogation or prying to draw out more or to learn more. But we need to be willing to ask the tough questions. You know, what's hard for you right now? What is it that's wearing you down? You know, the message this morning, what is it that seems to be robbing you of joy? You know, what would it look like if God met your greatest need? And we need to have conversations. And by the way, not conversations as the word is typically used. It, you know, the word conversation is come to mean dialogue. No. The word conversation, especially as it's used in Scripture, it means something much richer than dialogue. You know, here's Webster's definition, Webster's 1828 definition of conversation. General course of manners, behavior, deportment, especially as it in respects to morals. Second definition, a keeping company, familiar intercourse, intimate fellowship or association. Intimate fellowship or association. You know, the word con means with, and the word verse means to turn. And what the word literally means, as we go through life, we are together going through life. And we converse in life together. And we need to have that intimate fellowship and that association. We must have real conversation to see one another's need. And to see one another's need, to see one another's burden, you and I need to respond to a brother's burden with a loving heart. See, how do you respond when you see that burden, when you become aware of that burden? See, how you respond is so vital. Because, you know, if we want a brother or sister to open up to us, you know, they're not going to open up to us, and they're not going to share their heart unless they feel they can trust you. And that trust that takes weeks, months, years to build can be lost in moments. You know, think about it. A brother opens up and a sister opens up and shares a burden, and then the response is not loving. You know, they're going to withdraw. They're going to close themselves off. They're going to deem you as an individual who is not safe for them to share their burdens with, and perhaps they'll even conclude that they can't share that with others either. You know, and in complete contradiction to the Word of God, they might come to the conclusion that they must bear their own burden. You see, we can't respond to the burdens of another by turning a blind eye or giving empty pious words or even gossiping about them. You know, in the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus spoke about a man who was left half dead on the side of the road, beaten, robbed. Jesus told of a priest and a Levite that saw the dying man, and they turned a blind eye. That they passed by on the other side. See, one of the things as we read that story, we you know, I've read it many times, and I thought, how heartless. How could someone be so heartless? But what you and I don't realize is that for these religious men who were ceremoniously clean, to have touched a bleeding man or a dying man would have made them unclean. And when they arrived at their destination, wherever they were going, they would have been unclean. Their clothes would have been unclean. If they weren't traveling home, they didn't have clothes to change into. And the entire purpose of their travels was on the line, for them to defile themselves and make themselves unclean because of this man who is lying in the road. It was so much easier for them and less troublesome for them to just pretend they didn't see, to just ignore what they had caught a glimpse of. It was too burdensome. It was too inconvenient. And listen, my friend, we cannot love like that. When we see the burden of another, we need to respond with love, not in turning a blind eye. Sometimes folks will give platitudes, you know, and those empty platitudes, those pious words are meaningless. They're nonsense. And James rightfully condemns those words. James chapter 2, you don't have to take time to turn there, but James chapter 2 in verse 15, he writes, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you gave them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? You see, and I'm not against saying that when there's absolutely nothing that we can do to say I'm praying about it. But listen, my friend, you say you're praying about it, you better be praying about it. It can't just be an empty platitude. You know, God bless you. And you did nothing to help to relieve that burden. No, my friend, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Gossiping is especially hurtful. You know, the New Testament, the Old Testament, it roundly condemned the kind of gossip and slander that's so often practiced in the church. James chapter 4, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of a brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou be the judge, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Ephesians chapter 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. See, I want to remind us that if you know, as a brother or sister in Christ, your heavenly Father is going to take offense. Gossip is offensive to God. As a parent, okay? Or maybe you have to reflect on when you were a parent. Did you want your children criticizing each other? You know, your children making fun of each other? You know, Paul condemns gossip so harshly in 1 Timothy. He speaks of gossips as having damnation because they've cast off their faith. You see, gossiping is the exact opposite of bearing one another's burden. It's adding to that burden, making that burden all the more grievous. See, you and I are commanded to lovingly help a brother or sister to bear that burden. And by the way, let me say this. You know, my opinion of your burden or your opinion of a brother or sister's burden does not change your responsibility to bear that burden. You see, you know, that kind of conditional love that, you know, we have to exactly agree and that love is only going to be expressed to those who are deemed worthy of such love. That's not divine love. That's not the kind of love that Jesus was speaking of. You know, Jesus said that human love, that natural love, even sinners, publicans, they love those that love them. You know, that love that's depending on us seeing eye to eye on everything, that's not love. That's not love. I want to finish the message tonight. Just five basic steps to bearing one another's burdens. First of all, number one, ask. Ask. They may not be willing to share, but at least show that you're open to hear what they have to say. Let them know that you truly care. And, you know, to bear one another's burdens, we must see that burden. And if you ask, number two, listen. Listen. You know, if you don't want to hear what they have to say, don't ask. You know, I'm ashamed to say it, but there have been times I've asked someone how they were doing and almost regretted asking. But if you're going to ask someone, listen. Listen to the concerns of your spiritual siblings. Listen, hear their burdens, hear their heartaches. Bear ye one another's burdens. And sometimes that burden can be lightened just by their ability to share with you what's going on in their life. Number three, respond in love. Love them. You know, they may share a burden with you that you have no idea that they are carrying. You may be surprised, but listen, respond in love. Don't show shock or dismay. And listen, just because their burden is different than yours, that doesn't mean that you're better off than they are. They're just struggling in a different way. And as they share their burden, respond in love. Next, pray. Pray. I said this a few weeks ago, but you know, there's much to do after we pray, but there's nothing we can do before we pray. We need to take these burdens to the Lord. We must pray. Pray. pray because we can help them bear their burdens. See, only God can truly relieve that burden. Only God can truly lighten that burden. You're just helping them to bear that burden and take that burden before the throne of grace and on their behalf find mercy, not for yourself, but for them, to help them in their time of need. You know, it's said that, a burden shared is a burden halved. You know, many hands make the load light. And think about this, taking that burden and putting it in the hands of your Heavenly Father. And Paul spoke so many times in his epistles about the blessings. We read some there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, but the blessing that he received from having his brothers and sisters pray for him as he prayed for them. And boy, there's been times in my life where I receive a strength that I know is not me, and I just know that someone is praying for me. Pray. Pray. Let me say this lastly, serve. Do what you can. And pray that God can do what you cannot. We all have different gifts and abilities, and we can't be all things to all people and solve all burdens, but God has placed us into this body to help one another, to bear one another's burdens. And you do what God has enabled and empowered you to do and ask Him to make up for what you lack. See, this matter of bearing burdens is hard work. By the way, love is hard work. That's why more than half of married couples give up on love and get divorced at some point. Love is hard work, but I want to remind us that's what we've been called to do as Christians. Love one another. Love one another again and again and again. The command has been given. Love one another. God wants us to help each other. But as we finish the message tonight, I want to remind us that we do this for one another because this is what the Savior did for us. Bear ye one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. You see that the law of love has been fulfilled because Christ bore our burdens. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. See, Jesus bore your burden, the burden of your sin in His body. 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. See, that burden that you and I could never escape from, the burden of our sin He took from us. It wasn't just the cross He carried up Calvary's hill. It was the burden of our sin that He carried. And now we bear the burdens of one another because we've had our burdens borne. He set us free to show His love to others. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Oh, listen, dear brothers and sisters, let this verse be us. Let this describe the Allen Baptist Church. Jesus said that. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of love. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.